you so much for being here this morning. It is fantastic to come in and see you. I've had the chance this week to worship a lot during the week. We've been at camp with our kids. I'll talk a little bit about more about that in just a minute. A couple of things I did want to mention to you. Please make sure, I know we had an announcement and we had a video. Those were two different things. Today, our Sunday afternoon discipleship group is going to be kicking off this series out of Philippians, To Live as Christ, But to Die as Gain, by Matt Chandler. That was the video that you saw. If you hadn't had a chance to jump into one of our groups, we do have one that's meeting on Sunday afternoon, one on Wednesday night. They're doing Crazy Love by Francis Chan. We're also looking for some leaders to take over some new groups, to allow some new groups to form so we can be better about it. We also, one of the groups that we're getting ready to get on in the next short while is going to be our college group. We have some great college students. I had a couple of them serving this past week at our children's camp, and they did a fantastic job in all that they did. I love them and want to see them to continue to serve. The announcement that Chad made, that is about our men's ministries. The Bible study, six-week Bible, I'm gonna probably, like, my brain's going to hesitate a lot today. I'm a little short on sleep from this past week. That Chad came up here and announced, and I just like the fact that we can make announcements in full uniform in this church. And if you think, well, that was intimidating, absolutely. He's going to come to your house to get you signed up, man. And if you don't want to, we understand. Let the Spirit guide you, but let the tickets enforce you. He's gonna be leading that. I like how you put that about Barnabas, somebody that's that will walk with you and encourage you, but is not impressed by you. That's a key relationship. Sometimes we connect with people and we think, man, they've got it a little bit more figured out than I do. They're a little bit more financially well off, or they do this or they do that. Their kids seem better behaved. And all of a sudden, somebody that's one of our peers, we maybe get a little bit impressed by. And as we are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not called to be impressed by each other. We're called to love each other and encourage each other. So I like how you put that. That was good. I'm impressed by him, but no more. No more am I impressed by you. I can say that publicly because you initiated it. We did have a, I don't want to go, I'm getting ready to celebrate something much bigger than this in the scope of eternity, but we did have, we had in our own little corner of the world in a softball bracket, our two teams made it to the finals. It was so encouraging this morning for Jake to come up to me and say, hey, we, as the green team, as a whole group of men, we finally figured out what our problem was. You. And I think we can all agree that was probably the case. I thought maybe the green team was a little inspired because as I was coming back from the weekend, I saw a picture that was posted on social media. It was a picture like of a home plate, and it was kind of a baseball look on the picture. And up the top is big letters, RFCC Blue will play in the championship at 7:30. Then a small little letters at the bottom, it said, RFCC Green will play for the opportunity to be in the championship at 6:30. And that was all the inspiration they needed. And I told you guys, steroids pay off. If it's not college ball, if it's not the pros, then don't test for it, fellas. That's how we roll. We will have a short meeting, and it will be short right after the service. Need to just announce a couple things, have everybody on the same page as we're continuing to move forward as a body of believers together. What we're going to do is just give a few minutes for those who are not members, who are visiting with us today, to be able to slip out and shake hands and be thanked for their presence here as they leave, and then we'll get started, and we won't be here long at all, so if you'll stay for just a few minutes. We were at camp all week, and if you've never experienced something that was physically demanding, spiritually uplifting, and emotionally exhausting, that's kind of what you go through with a week of spending time with kids and just being with them. And it is the best experience, I tell you. I just every year, we literally have lost count, me and the other guy that's the main director, how many times we've done it together, and we've been at camp together as kids. But the great thing is, this was our first opportunity as a church to not just support it. Some of you have allowed for students to go this past week that were having some trouble getting there. A lot of you brought in stuff like water bottles. Trust me, there was no greater gift on some moments than those bottles of water. When I was able to show everybody that not only could you drink, but you could spray from many of those bottles, it was just It was almost spiritual revival as we were hydrated. We took Bibles down from the church that we had there for the kids if they needed Bibles, notebooks to take notes with. It was so amazing. The first night, my middle son, Tyler, it was his first year. He's watched his older brother go through 4 years of camp. This year is his first year. First night going to bed, I'm like, okay, you know, let me go down there, check on him, see what he needs. And he's like, Dad, I need you, I need you. So I'm like, great. This has got to be somewhere between I need shampoo, I'm out of underwear already on the first day or something. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to lay down in here with all these guys and everybody's going to make farting noises and stuff and, you know, whatever's going to go on. And he takes out his notebook. He took notes and he said, Dad, I don't have the rest of point two. And I spoke Monday night and he said, you moved it too fast. And I said, no, you write too slow. No, I didn't say that. We didn't have that confrontation at the moment, but all the stuff that you did to participate in your giving and your generosity and in your prayer especially. Trust me, we could tell that you were praying. We had one young man who, as he was on his way home, began to talk to his parents, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior when he got home on Friday night. And that brought it to 26 kids last week that got saved through that ministry. So we had, I believe if I'm correct, three of those students, three of those kids were from here. It was good. I got a text from Coach Lippard one night. It was just good to hear from my dad, who says, man, I saw a picture, and I think my son might have made a decision. Can you tell me about it? And then to be able to go and talk to the guy that counseled him. And he told me, he said, and this was not our camp. He said he was so clear on the gospel. He's so clear on the gospel. You don't get that clear at that age without having heard it and having parents that are pouring into him and raising him up just to love Jesus and follow him. And we had those decisions this week, and it was just phenomenal. And we just celebrate just what kind of week it was. We presented them Jesus. We let them have fun. They got nasty. Ryan was complaining to me earlier about how much like dirt and mud was in the bathtub that night. Dude, we didn't even charge you for that. That's not even extra. That was just what we sent home. We want to give back to who goes. We had a great week. They were talking about this morning in children's church. A week like that promotes itself. So if your child was not able to go this year, please encourage them to look out for that next year. We're getting ready to go in a couple more weeks. We've got vans ready, rented to go, and we'll be sending out emails and stuff this week. I'm excited just to go right back to camp. It's going to be good. This morning we're going to be. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to roll into Galatians chapter 4 because when the Bible was inspired, it wasn't wrote with chapters and verses. They didn't number their sentences. That's been done as those things have been translated to help us be a little bit more organized in how we learn it and how we memorize it and how we can understand it. So Galatians chapter 3 is going to roll into Galatians chapter 4 because those chapters were put in there. This was a letter written by Paul to this church, and that's where we're going to be mainly this morning. And I want to talk to you, and this past week is a great perspective week. Me and the other guy that is the other director, his name's Daniel. I'll just call him by his first name. His name's Daniel. He's actually preaching at their church this morning in all their services. And we were talking a lot this past week at night when we were praying about different things. And we got on the subject of childlike faith. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, childlike faith. I've always been heard, I've heard in church growing up, that you're supposed to have childlike faith. Anybody else ever heard that too, just by show of hands? You feel obligated to raise your hand just because I raised my hand and I said I heard it? Okay, that's cool. But here's the thing. You know, the Bible actually doesn't tell us to have childlike faith. It doesn't. You know, when we actually started reading some of those passages this week and started thinking about that and said, okay, well, what is this childlike faith? Because we're spending a week around a big group of kids. It was a big group of kids. It was the fullest the camp has been in several years. And we're here. And before I jump over, thank you so much to all of you that helped out. I know even Chad and Karen helped bring down luggage. Jenny was there counseling. Katie, Jared were there. Caitlin was there counseling. Jared was there. I see Katie over there. Ashley was here somewhere. Just so many people, and I'll forget somebody if I just keep naming names, but we had so many people that came and helped out, popped in and just helped for a few hours where they could. Brandon came down, of course. Dale was down there some where he could be down there. Just thank you so much for all the help and everything. It was just, it was an awesome week. Thank you so much. I don't know that Brian's going to let Jenny go again, but he doesn't have a choice because publicly he would have to confront me and up here on the stage. I only argue with people publicly from the stage, so to say. But I started really looking at these passages. Jesus doesn't tell us to have childlike faith. Now, I don't mean to burst somebody's bubble, because it's not a negative thing for it not to be in the Bible just like that. See, what happened is there were several circumstances, and you can read it in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, where the disciples, in one particular circumstance, were arguing over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And because their argument was, let's say their argument was childish. It was that immature understanding of the kingdom of God. Jesus then called over a small child and said, look, if you don't become like one of these, one like this, you won't be in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus doesn't say, hey, believe like a child. In fact, Paul wrote about how we're supposed to mature as a believer. We're supposed to go from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. Babies can't eat a steak yet, right? They don't start with that. But then as they grow up, they're able to eat more and more. They're able to digest it. Their system can handle it. Paul writes to us and says that's how we should develop as believers. We should in our lives move from some basic core understandings and become faithful in those so as we dive deeper into the word, we can get into the more complex things, maybe we would say, or the things that seem a little bit tougher or harder to do because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So as we mature and we get stronger, we can be more committed and live more faithfully and be more accurate according to who Jesus is in the word. See, many times it was because of bad behavior from adults that Jesus would bring a child up and say, this is how I would want you to approach the kingdom. This is how I would want you to have faith. Because the Bible doesn't talk about childlike faith, adult-like faith, whatever-like faith. It just calls it faith. And that's how Galatians 3 approaches it. I want you to read this statement. It's going to be up on the screen. The Bible does not tell us to have childlike faith. The Bible warns us against being childish as a Jesus follower. You know, as a Christian, we can be very, very immature. And to me, the one of the weeks of the year, more than youth camp that we'll go to in a couple weeks, one of the weeks of the year that always just absolutely kind of hits my reset button is this week of camp that we spend with kids. And the guys I was down there with are not, the two other directors are not lead pastors at this point in their ministry, you know, so they give me a hard time about being the rev all week. So I would then try to order them around, and of course they didn't do anything about that, so we just all laughed and kept going. But it's one of those things where honestly, for me, I don't care what I do in ministry. I don't care what a title may look like. I want to spend at least 1 week every year at a camp like that because it is such a reminder that faith is just faith. And sometimes it's the characteristics of children that show you the purest examples of it. I want you to listen to this. This will not be on the screen, but I'd like for you to listen to this. Those who willingly take the lowest position are the greatest in heaven's eyes. A young child is destitute of ambition, pride, and haughtiness, and is therefore a good example for us. Children are characteristically humble and teachable. Now, you may sit here and go, man, ain't my child. All right? And so I met some of you kids. I ain't going to argue with you. I'm just kidding. So y'all were like, man, he's kind of moody since he's been back. Yeah, I'm kind of tired. Don't have much of a voice. But that's the thing. You know, it's amazing how teachable kids are. These kids this week that we spent time around, they didn't come there with an ego that they were owed something when it comes to faith. They came there with this passion of just, this is just the Jesus that I believe in. This is the God that I follow. Dale, we had on Wednesday night, I think it was, I lead worship one time a year, and it's at this kid's camp. I don't sing in the microphone, I promise. I don't do it. But I get up there, and I like to just talk them through it. And I love it when they get excited. And we're at the end of the service on, no, I'm sorry, it was Thursday. We're at the end of the service on Thursday. And we closed that service with We Believe. And we had a phenomenal speaker system down there this year. But man, it's blasting out. Like, it starts so loud behind me that I can't hear anything else. By the end of that song, it was just everything just overpowered it coming from the seats where the kids were and everything. And that's what they bring down. They don't bring down all the complications. Now, there's a word that we use. We kind of classify things once they are quote unquote adult, right? Now, that word adult can have some negative connotations. If it's an adult movie, we know that that's something that we don't want someone else to look at that's under a certain age. We say, hey, there's legal ages for certain things. I want you to think about something for a second. We've kind of categorized our society into adult things. How many of those adult things are good for us? Right? Does that make sense? Well, it's adult. If you see a warning pop up on the screen that says, the following has adult content, is that the best thing to watch? We have a legal drinking age. Would our society get worse if we had zero alcohol on earth? I mean, think about it. We basically, as a society, have gotten to the point where we've said, okay, let's kind of maybe say, you know what, as we get older, we feel like we're having less fun. So if we can take all these certain things and label them as adult, then maybe that's kind of our window of opportunity to live the life that we want to live, which in many ways ends up being this thing that the Bible talks about called sin. But if you think about it, we and even this, we say, you know what, you know, this is an adult conversation. In other words, it's too big for you. You know, you spend a week around kids, and I promise you what they've gone through in their life is bigger than what most of us have gone through. We had a little girl this week that was down at camp. She did not come from our church. And this was a little girl that we prayed over every night. As directors, we had a chance to pray over her. And this was her story. We couldn't give details to all the counselors and everything, but we had an opportunity to pray over her. This young girl had been sexually molested by a parent. When it was finally found out, she was removed, and they gave custody to her grandparents. Her grandparents decided they wanted to move her completely out of that environment, so they moved down to the beach. They moved down to the beach, and the granddad got a job at a beach mobile home park where people keep a lot of campers and different stuff. Some people are year-round, some people aren't. And he did a lot of maintenance and did a lot of setup down there. Part of the arrangement was they worked there, they lived there, they did all that stuff, so, you know, everything's supposed to be good, right? Got her to the beach. While they were down there, because they had to both work to get themselves set up, and the grandmother had to work in the office, the manager of the whole property had a couple of teenage daughters that would babysit this little girl during the day. After about a month, they started sexually molesting her. You know, but sometimes we sit there and we get to this level with kids, like, and we look at kind of our society and we go, well, we live in the adult world and they live in the child world. They just don't understand certain things. I'll be honest with you. I would hope no adult would understand what she's gone through. So when it comes to childlike faith, I'll be glad to have it. Because that little girl professed Jesus Christ as her Savior. And that little girl smiled. And she laughed. And she hugged. Because she believed in Jesus. She cried when she had to go home. But she believes in Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell me to have childlike faith. But I'll take childlike faith. But here's the thing too. For those of us that have faith in Jesus Christ, what we are supposed to understand is what that faith is supposed to look like. What does that faith establish for us? What's it supposed to be like? Let's not be childish about our faith. Let's not say that, well, since we're adults, we don't have to kind of get into this, or we don't need to, you know, we don't need to have all these conversations about spiritual growth and all this stuff. That's for the kids. We're adult. We have our service. Let them learn all the Bible verses. Let them learn all the stuff. Let's kind of separate us as faith. Let's not do that. Let's just talk about faith and how it's supposed to mature and how Paul, inspired by God, lays this out this morning. In Galatians chapter 3, he starts out with this idea of how I took my clock to camp, by the way. So if you see me looking over here, I'm not scared of this section, but I do have to kind of keep an eye generally towards them because this is where my clock is. And I don't know where that clock is, to be honest, right now. I think I know what van it's on. But beyond that, I don't really know. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 23. If you didn't bring a Bible, there'll be two Bibles that'll be large and up on the wall. These words will appear on as well. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, before the coming of this faith. Now again, the Bible says this faith. There is no childlike faith. There is no adult-like faith. There is this faith, faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel. It says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Now, the first thing that we need to understand about salvation and faith in Jesus Christ is salvation births us into the family of God. There is a beginning, there is a born point when it comes to being a Christian, being a Jesus follower. It happens after we understand the gospel. It happens once we realize that we're a sinner, Christ paid that price. Now, if you ever really want to read a kind of a funny story, and you really have to put yourself in the mind of the people that were hearing this, you know John 3:16, pretty famous verse? Well, John 3:16 was a verse that was not a publicly preached verse. It was a verse that originally was just a quote by Jesus to a guy named Nicodemus. We quote it, and we really, I mean, it's kind of our, you know, Christian anthem verse, and we teach it to little kids. But that verse was not a preached verse. That was just a kind of one-on-one conversation, because Jesus was having this statement and this conversation with this guy named Nicodemus, who was struggling. He was really religious, but religious in the old way. He was trying to figure out what do I believe about this Jesus that I'm face to face with. So Jesus starts to have this conversation about this, you know, being born into the family. So he tells Nicodemus, as he's having this conversation, if you really think about it, Nicodemus, this is all new information. He says, look, to be a follower, to be part of the kingdom, you're going to have to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, whoa, I was born once. How is that possible to be born again? And he's like, well, unless you're born the second time. And you can see, like, in the language, Nicodemus is like, I don't get it. Because in his mind, he's like, hang on a second. I'm already out. Like, I came out. Like, how? There's no going back, right? Like, I don't know what year you covered that in health, but everything pretty much is all about coming out, right? From the birth standpoint, there's really no going back in, okay? It's no second trip down the tunnel. It's not, okay? So Nicodemus is hearing this. He's like, what in the world are you talking about? This is not possible. But what Jesus was trying to communicate in John 3 to him was this. Yes, you have a physical birth, but that physical birth just birthed you into this world of sin. He said, I want you to be born again through faith in Jesus so that you start a new life in him. The Bible says that we are a new creature once we accept Jesus Christ. There should be some changes in us. All change doesn't happen at one time. But if there's never any evidence of change, that should be evidence that we need to confirm where our faith truly lies. There is a born moment when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. It continues in verse 27 here, and it says this, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. This is not a transgender conversation, please, and not a scripture. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, here's the awesome thing about being saved. And I love looking at kids that come upstairs for counseling, and they sit down with counselors, and they come over, and they've got this decision card that talks about what they talked about, what they understood, how all that stuff went, and they hand me a card, and we start to talk about, at that point forward during the week, about being this one united family. And I'll look at some kids sometimes and say, do you know what it means for me and you to be in the same family? They're like, yeah, I kind of think so. I said, well, we're, you know, I'll look at like Paxton. I said, hey, Paxton, you know, that means that me and you are brothers in this same big family. And he's looking at me like, you are old dude to be my brother. And I said, I get it, man, but like we're all on the same level. Like it doesn't matter that I speak up front at this week of camp and you sit in the chair. We're all one. It's not about gender preference. It's not about race preference. It's not about anything like that. The one single unified, everybody wants, you know, who was it that said it? Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? Well, bless his heart. No, we all can't get along except for one thing, being united in Jesus Christ. Now, we mess it up. Don't blame Jesus for what people in church argue about and mess up. That is our fault. It is time that we, as people that have attended church over the years, take responsibility for that. Because the one true unifier in the whole world is God's Spirit that's in us once we're saved. And we need to understand that. We are one family. We are one family. And we need to act like one family. Now, I ain't trying to air all your family's dirty laundry. I just know how dirty our clothes are in my family. Now, some of the family's real close together, right? We get together, we eat together. Then there's some parts of the family that just, they never show up. Some of them we don't really reach out to. If you ever wonder how you're supposed to interact with the church, just in your mind say, if this was the closest family member that I had, what would I do right now? Right? Because kids get that. Kids get that. Like when they're worshiping and singing and one starts tearing up because, you know, kids get moved by emotions too. You know, the ones that struggle like I did when they're age and I realized that I didn't have a dad at home. When we sing a song like Good, Good Father and we try to talk them through this idea that, hey, you have a good, good father. And this is who he says he is. This is who he says you are. When we sing that song, even children, they'll get emotional. You know what I love what they do? All of a sudden you see arms start going around each other because they love each other. They treat each other right because we're one family, right? It was so funny this week. We had this big color war that we did to where if you ever seen one of these color runs where everybody gets hit with a powder and everything, you know, my only rule, I told my main rule was this. You can't grab the bottom of the sock and just wail on somebody, right? Because you could, because it's a big ball of color powder in the bottom of a sock. If you don't think it hurts, I still have some right outside this door. I'll nail you after this service. It'll come out of your clothes, but it'll help me. It's like pastor therapy, right? So I told him, I said, you can't just wail on somebody. So I told him, I said, you hold it right underneath the blob of color, and you just, you bump, you bump, you bump. It wasn't like 30 seconds into that game. I took 12 shots to the kidney, one in the knee, and I saw one coming, and it was going, it was going for, it was south of the equator. And it was, at that moment, that child was my enemy, right? There was no turning back. You know, and we're out there, and we're having fun, and we're doing all this stuff, and just everything during the week. It's like we just really, truly coexist in love, and we spend time growing in the Word, and we do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, gosh, I wish it could always be like this. Why the heck can't it? Seriously? I need people to lead groups. I need some group leaders here. I need them. Now, if I keep making this announcement all week, and you really keep feeling like, you know what, I feel like I could do that. I feel like God's putting that on my heart. Please tell me, right? We need more groups because if we have groups, then we have more and more. There's more opportunities for people to meet and be discipled and grow in the Word of God. If you just want to start coming to one, please come to one so you can start growing and be encouraged and be connected to people. There's never a church where you'll never hear this. I just don't feel like anybody cares. They don't notice when I'm not there. It is always going to be, you may say, well, I like this church because it's not just, you know, it's not 12,000 seats in here. It don't matter. You could set 10 chairs in the middle of a room and call it a church. If all you do is come in and out and it's just that main kind of service atmosphere, you'll never get as connected as you will to a group of people that you meet with on a regular basis. And it's part of our responsibility not just to do that as part of the family, but to also be accountable to those people as part of the family. And it works. I'm telling you, it actually works. The people that you choose to get together in your family with on a regular basis, you know what's going on in their lives. The cousins, I got a cousin named Daryl. I know a lot about Daryl. Daryl lives in Washington, D.C. We just had a funeral for somebody in the family not long ago, and Daryl couldn't make it down. I ain't got nothing in the world against Daryl. But I ain't talked to Daryl in like 20 years. He's about 5 years older than I am. I couldn't tell you where he is today because I don't ever get together with him. You know, we can coexist as one family. That's not a childlike faith thing. The fact that we don't do it means that we're being childish as we continue in our faith. Because we're choosing. What does a kid do? We talk about the good qualities of a kid. But what does a kid do when they want it their way? They pitch a fit, right? It just shuts down. Shuts down, right? Like in my house, if you turn YouTube off at the wrong time, oh, bless God. Children in third world countries ain't got it this bad. You know, I could give up water if I could keep YouTube. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it all falls apart. That's how kids act. And we as adults, we can't act like that. We have to understand that we aren't unique. We are part of the family. Yes, God wants to use each of us, but we aren't supposed to be feared or respected. We're supposed to be valued by each other and value others. We're supposed to be one family. Galatians chapter 4 continues. I'm going to pick up in verse 4. The first few verses of Galatians talk about this difference of being a young person, that even though that you have some things because of the family you're in, you have people that kind of look over you and they tell you what to do. And Paul was comparing that to the old religion that they had grown up in. Now he's wanting to awaken them to the new faith that they have in Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this. Verse 4 in Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. I want you to understand something this morning. When that verse there says, adopted to sonship. Now, we view, this is kind of how, and I'm not adopted. I know we've got some folks in our family here at this body of believers that are adopted. But when we talk adoption in our culture, it's this kind of thing of where, you know, some parents feel like they want to be parents and haven't been able to, or that they've been parents and they want to give that to someone else. And it's always like, you know, here we've got to go and we've got to adopt. And, you know, then if you talk to them, there's these kind of things of how do we start to balance the relationship of who are biologically our kids versus the children that we adopt. And it's always interesting to me in how adoption's handled. And how people talk about it. But this is what I really love about this passage. See, when Paul wrote this into their culture, when he said, you are adopted into sonship, that didn't mean it was just a boy thing, but just you were adopted. For them, if a child was adopted into a family, the complete mindset and complete heart condition of everybody in that family was never, hey, part of my story is that I'm adopted. You never heard the word adoption. Because once they were brought into the family, they were just a child of that family. They never talked about, oh yeah, you remember when we adopted him or adopted her? No, it was just you were a member of the family. If you were older than the oldest child pre-existing, then you became the oldest child of that family. So you all of a sudden got all the inheritance rights just because you were the oldest. It wasn't, well, we need to give these kids this because they were actually our kids. Even though we adopted this boy or this girl, they were older. Then we're going to kind of treat that separately. No, everything that was ever considered, you were a child of that family. And these are the words that God gives Paul to write about our adoption into the family of God. When God brings us into his family through salvation, there is no, Well, we're glad to have you as part of the family, especially considering what all you used to do. There is no, well, you know, you're in here with us, but, you know, since you don't come as much, you're here, but you're in. No, that's how we treat people. When God looks at his children, he just sees his children. And that's amazing to me, because we can sit here and go, you know what? That is great that those kids got saved. It's great that they went to camp this year. Man, good luck to them. No, when God sees them, he sees that child just as much as part of his family as any of us who have been saved for years and years and years and years. And sometimes it is in this, where it says here that God sent the Spirit. You say, what should I really feel in connection to God through my salvation? The fact that I've got his Spirit inside of me. What's some of the feeling that the Bible talks about, what we should feel in that kind of urging towards God? It says that God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy. What is childlike faith? What is faith that we see in kids, pure, with humility, with passion, with faith? What should we experience when we have those characteristics? We should just really be able to feel and say, you know what, let me not complicate it other than just saying, God, I have a relationship with you as my dad, as my father. I can come to you for advice. When I'm hurt, I can talk to you. When I'm broken, you care. When I'm excited, you want to celebrate with me. You know, as adults, we're like, well, you know, faith is this, and I believe this, and I'll pray over these things. When faith like these, like when Jesus would bring up this kid, he would say, you know, I want you to be like this. For that kid to be called up by Jesus, that teacher in that environment, that would have been such an amazing thing for that kid. Because everybody else, and in fact, even the disciples were like, get the kids back. But Jesus was like, no, come on, come here, come here. I want you to know how special you are. I want you to feel that closeness with me. And then Jesus would just be excited that he got that opportunity. For adults, why aren't we more excited to be closer to Jesus, to just spend time with him? It's because we all of a sudden start to develop, even in our mindset spiritually, that we are adult. We don't need to get excited about that stuff. This week, you know, I got a call. I'm going to go see my grandmother today. And her she's getting really close to the end of life. And I know my grandmother's testimony, right? I know that she's saved. And when I see her, you know, like I still, when she would talk about God and when she prays, I still have always sensed just the love and the excitement. It's like her voice goes from being my grandmother to being just a little girl talking to her dad when she prays. And I love that about her. It's one of my favorite things about her. But for us, when we really can contemplate just who we are, loved by Jesus, outside of our problems, and the joy that he wants to give us, why can't we get a little excited about that? Why can't we push some other stuff out to say, this is important? We never had a problem all week. We never had a problem get kids lined up to come into the chapel. Never had a problem. Because, man, they were ready. They were excited to worship. They wanted to hear something that would help them love Jesus and follow him better. We never had a hard time getting them into small groups when they just would sit around in a circle and had an adult talking to them and would ask them questions and say, hey, what do you think about this? We never had a problem getting those kids into that. That's not childlike. That's just faith. Don't insult that kind of thing by saying it's childlike. Because really, if I try to just put that characteristic on them, then I'm being childish in my own faith. I should love Jesus like that. I should care for other people like that. That's not a kid thing. That's a faith thing. That's Jesus. That's who he is. That's what he promotes. The Spirit wants us to just have that heart, to be able to call out just Abba, Father. That Spirit inside of us that just calls us into that relationship for him. You know, I'll be honest with you. I know just going into this morning, all week, I just, at the first of the week, when somebody just, you know, kind of rolled around, childlike faith. It just seemed like it just didn't fit for me. It just didn't connect. Because I want to be spiritually mature. I don't want to struggle with the same sins right now that I struggled with last year. I don't want to hurt people right now in my life that I'm connected with in church like I've hurt people before. I don't want to just say, you know what, I'll just choose to study this and I'll exclude my study of this. I won't really challenge myself spiritually on this thought or this idea because that would really cause me to have to change. I don't want to be childish. I want to be mature. I want to be somebody that somebody can come to and say, can I talk to you about what God's word says about something? Because I really would like to hear what you have to say. Selfishly, I want to be that person. Not because I'm a pastor, but just because it'd be pretty awesome to at least for somebody to look at your life and go, you follow Jesus. I want to be that. So this whole childlike faith just didn't fit for me this week. And when me and Daniel talked about it a lot, as I left camp, I knew this was the passage that I was going to preach on this morning. I didn't even try to make it. I didn't make an outline. I'll be honest with you. I slept a lot yesterday. I'm tired. And you may sit here and listen. I don't understand a thing in the world he said this morning. You understand this? You're not called to be a kid in the kingdom of God. But when you see a kid get up on Christmas morning, they're just excited, right? Just that enthusiasm because they've just received a gift that is theirs. We should have that characteristic when it comes to our salvation. We shouldn't get bored into just going. I mean, have you thought about it? If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you're saved. That's pretty crazy. That means that your eternal destiny went from hell to heaven. That's awesome, right? That's insane. That doesn't happen. You can't get anything good out of the IRS. Nothing, right? Nobody wants to. I mean, I don't even know about you. I don't even care about voting this year. I'm going to vote. I'm going to make the best choice I can for somebody that I hope and pray that God, they will follow God, or God will somehow morph their heart into something he can use. I don't know. I'm not going to even tell you. Anybody just optimistic of the politics of this nation? But you know what? Bigger than this nation that we live in, I'm part of the kingdom of God because I'm saved. I'll take that. I'll take that citizenship. Right? And be excited about it. Like, wake up excited because God can use me today. You know, kids that are humble, they don't think sometimes that they just have a place in there. They get hushed a lot. So some kids, when you see them, that just in life has taught them to put their head down. God wants us to come to him with some humility so he can lift us up and encourage us. You put your arm around a kid at a camp like we just went to, you say, I love you. Man, you're awesome. That's what God wants to do for us. You're not called to be a kid in the kingdom. But you are called to have some of those characteristics. Excitement, humility, passion, faith. These kids that come back right now, don't think that they're uneducated. They can tell you some stuff about God's word. I promise you. Childlike faith, some people think, oh, just kids will believe anything. No, they believe Jesus. As we grow, God calls us to be able to explain our belief. That means we do have to learn. These kids are teachable. They learn so much. But guess what? Our brains work too. We can learn. We can grow. We can be a church that looks a lot like camp did last week. And you know what? Camp fills up on a regular basis. We'll never have problems filling up a church if we're faithfully serving Jesus Christ. and we're excited about it. I can tell you some boring churches to go to, right? There's some churches that, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't drink, but there's some churches that if you come out of, you really contemplate it. I mean, some churches, you'd be like, I mean, there's some churches, I mean, when communion starts, you're like, holy cow, I hope this is an alcoholic communion. I need a break. I need something. We're just going to stick with grape juice and celebrate Jesus, okay? Man, I want to celebrate him. I'll be honest with you. We're a little bit late. We still got to do a meeting. I get all that stuff. I just came back from a week of spending time with kids. Gave their lives to Jesus, who got saved, who want to just follow him right now and don't want to do anything else. And I just want to be a kid. I just want to be like that. I don't want to complicate anything. I had a million things that I needed to do last week. I'm just glad I went to camp. I can tell you right now, my heart is better for it. It really, really is. I hope for being here this Sunday, your heart is better for it. And I hope your heart is pulled towards following Jesus, following Jesus, following Jesus, following Jesus. Would you stand with me and bow your heads, please? We're going to sing a song together. And the altar is always open. The altar is always open because I could not leave a week like last week and shut down an altar that someone may want to come to receive Jesus as their Savior. Because if you'd say to yourself, you know what, Derek, I've never felt that thing in me that says, Abba, Father. I've never felt that kind of connection. Like, I get it. It's Jesus. I've heard him preached. But I've never just fully trusted and believed in him and said, okay, I want my belief to move into trust, which means I want my life to change. I want to put my life in his hands. I want Jesus to be in control. As the Bible says, to believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he rose again. And to confess, to pray to God, to be saved, that Jesus Christ is in control. If you want to make that decision this morning, please, please, please come up here. I would love to pray with you about that. I'd love to talk to you after we finish the service about it if you want to. However, that decision is the most important decision that anyone could ever make. But if you're settled in that decision, you're truly settled in that decision, and there's not another need that you want to come forward and pray over, and while we sing, I would just really encourage you to say, okay, if I could just take Jesus, me and you, to just the simplest level of following you and loving you and being loved by you, how do you want that to feel in my spirit and in my heart right now? What do you want the thoughts in my mind to be? Don't let me overcomplicate this. Let me just make this what you want it to be. What do you want me to think? What do you want me to feel right now? I want to encourage you to have that heart and that mindset through this time in this song. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, Lord. We love you. And we are so blessed to just be loved by you. God, you are holy and perfect. Lord, let us worship you right now. Let us to God, just, Lord, if there's anybody here who has not made the commitment and the decision to be saved, Lord, I promise, Lord, right now we won't move anywhere before they have all the time that they need. God, we just ask that if there's somebody that would be moved to make that decision to be saved this morning, Lord, that they wouldn't just run from that they would step forward so we could show them in your word, God, how they can do that. Lord, help us to love you and follow you and know that you're real right now in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and everything about us, Lord. Help us to not look at faith as something that's childlike. Lord, help us to not be childish in our faith. Help us to grow in it and mature in how we see your word and how we treat your word. Help us to be responsible in how we live and act for you. But God, help our hearts to be free to love and to believe and to trust and to be humble and to learn and to be teachable and to have all these qualities about us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.